The Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell just got bigger. Featuring former defensive star and three-time national champion at Nebraska and NFL player Jason Peter. Jason Peter under the helmet. With Jason Peter on the Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Elissa Walker-Campbell, we want to welcome you back this weekend to the Big E Sports Show. Before we get underway, we also want to have you go to our website. That is eradiosports.com. As we are getting ready to talk about one of the greatest rivalries in all of sports, of course, Oklahoma-Texas, always a big storyline. So we're going to go inside the huddle, under the helmet, with Jason Peter. He's up in Lincoln, Nebraska. I'm sure you care about this rivalry, don't you, Jay?
I do, especially when you consider what's happened to Nebraska this year. Your focus kind of goes to maybe some of more the bigger football games in college football and less focus on the Huskers because they're absolutely brutal. But Texas OU is one of the great college football rivalries that's still left.
Well, last year, Oklahoma certainly took care of business. It was a blowout, 55-17. And now the Sooners, Jason, are coming off one of their best defensive performances against Texas Tech. You talk about what a difference a week makes. I mean, you and I, we discussed it last week on my program about, you know, Kansas State coming into Norman and just taking care of business. I mean, they had a tremendous turnaround.
Yeah, and I think the big difference was they were able to provide protection to Landry Jones. I thought the offensive line did a good job, and Landry Jones is a completely different quarterback when he doesn't have anybody screaming down his blind side and forcing him out of the pocket, like all quarterbacks are. But I think Landry has a tough time when he is kind of pushed out of the pocket and forced to make throws on the run. Now, when you look at what Texas has, and I don't think their defense is great. I think they're probably somewhere 75th ranked defense in the country. But the thing that they can do is they can get after the quarterback with those two defensive ends that they have in the Jeffcoat kid and Alex Okafor, who
right.
those two guys can come off the edge. And when you think about the thing that Oklahoma's offense struggles with is making sure Landry Jones has that comfort zone back there, and the thing that Texas' defense excels in is getting after the quarterback. So it's going to be a good matchup, and I think that probably will be the biggest factor in the game and probably in the outcome.
Well, Landry Jones, if you look at the history of it, I mean, he has actually played very well in the Red River rivalry. He could potentially pick up his third career win this weekend, this Saturday. But what about Texas as far as Ash? I mean, David Ash, he's still finding his ground a little bit, but he has certainly posted some very impressive totals, although Texas is coming off a loss.
I think Texas is averaging about 475 yards a game.
Yeah, it's big.
Which, I mean, that's not bad. I mean, it puts them right around the top 25 in offense. And I'm not a big statistic guy because all of these teams, they have those powder puff games where it just kind of pads the stats. And you don't really get a true, I guess, accurate depiction of where this offense or defense actually is. But I think when you talk about a young quarterback, every start that they get under their belt, it just it's so invaluable. I mean, it's just, I don't know if you can put words. I mean, the thing I think when just on a local perspective, I think that's the thing that's been disappointing with Taylor Martinez in Nebraska is he's had so many starts and people just expected him to be at a certain level. And it just hasn't been progressing the way that people have. But I think when you look at Texas and the Ash kid, I think, you know, for a school that really wasn't sure which way they were going to go at the quarterback position, now this kid is I think, starting to come into his own. And with each game he gets under his belt, he's just that much more comfortable.
Well, Jason, you're exactly right. I mean, he's a year older, a year wiser in 2012. I mean, last year, when you look back at that game and the game tape, David Ash did not play his best. I mean, he had a couple of interceptions. I think he was like 11 of 20. So he looks to, and seems like he's getting more comfortable within Mac Brown's system.
Well, I think rivalry games are especially tough for young kids.
For the pups, isn't it?
Yes, it really is. Because they're just, they haven't been part of those games. They don't really know the magnitude. Even if you grow up in state and you grow up around the game, you don't have a complete understanding until you've played in those games. And, you know, the crowd is that much more into it. The fans, you know, this is the game where they say, we absolutely have to have it. And for a lot of fans, you know, they'll kind of look past maybe a average season as long as they beat their rival, and that's the game. This is the game for Texas and Oklahoma. I mean, this is the game that the Big 12, when it first formed, said this is going to be our marquee matchup right here. And you know, the young kids, sometimes it takes them a game or two to finally settle in and realize how big it is. But you also, I think for young guys, sometimes part of the problem is they want to do too much in those games, and they've got to kind of learn, I just have to go out, I got to do what coach needs me to do, I got to do what the game plan is asking me to do, and you go out and you execute the best that you can. And I think usually when the young guys kind of get that understanding, then they feel that much more comfortable in those types of big-time games.
It is a big weekend in college football. We are providing the Oklahoma or Texas-Oklahoma preview with our good friend Jason Peter with our weekly Under the Helmet segment. And Jay, you and I were talking a little bit earlier, and I thought you brought up a great point that Oklahoma's offense, I mean, they got a major boost on Wednesday when head coach Bob Stoops, he announced that Fresno State transfer Jalen Saunders, he has been cleared to play for Oklahoma. And as I understand, he was terrific in the fall.
Yeah, and I think any weapon that you can give Landry Jones, I think, you know, certainly it's going to help. As long as this kid has kind of been on top of things, obviously he hasn't been getting the reps in games, but I think that is the thing that you look at. The difference in the Oklahoma offenses from when Sam Bradford was there and then on to Landry Jones, I think you look at the receiving core that Sam had, and it was good. You have some guys that are playing on Sundays, and Landry, I don't think, has been as lucky or as blessed as with such a talented group of receivers. And you know, now, and who knows how Jalen Saunders will you know, turn out. I mean, you know, playing at Fresno State isn't like playing at Oklahoma.
That's right.
You know, there's no game that Fresno plays that you can compare to an Oklahoma-Texas type of atmosphere. So, you know, you kind of have to hold off judgment, but I think it will certainly provide Landry with another weapon and another option when they're throwing the football.
Well, hopefully for all the senior fans, offensively they will be very efficient. And as you said, they just have another weapon, which really could prove to be very, very resourceful. So before we move ahead, tell us, I mean, who do you like in this game, Jason? Are you picking Oklahoma or Texas?
I think I got to go Texas. I know.
Wow, really?
I'm disappointed with that. I just think that
most folks are picking Oklahoma.
Yeah, I know most are picking Oklahoma. I just, as maybe it's as being a former defensive lineman, you kind of feel like you can pretty much dictate the outcome of the game, that you really don't need anybody else other than the front four guys, and I just like those pass rushers from Texas, and especially in this big game type atmosphere. I just think they're going to pin their ears back and they're going to be flying. And I think they're going to be able to get to Landry Jones. Just that's just how I think it will go, but you never know.
It will be an exciting game to watch. Let's move ahead. Let's talk about your Nebraska Cornhuskers. I know you guys are still licking your wounds as such a disappointing loss. I mean, what happened at Ohio State? Are they really that good? I mean, they scored 63 points on you guys?
Yeah, it was brutal. It's people are fed up up here, and rightfully so.
Are they angry?
Yeah, they're angry now because this is now Bo Pelini's fifth year, and you know, we heard a lot of things going into this this season about how, you know, these were all his guys, and you know, everybody on this roster has an understanding of what Bo wants, and Bo always talks about the process, the plan that's in place, and now people don't trust that plan. And to be honest, I don't know if players trust the plan, because as a coach, you only get to stand in front of them so many times and say, do it this way, and I promise you it will work. Now, I think you could put a good part of the blame on the coaches, but you also have to put some blame on the players. And there's just not an understanding of what I think is expected out of them, not just from the staff, but I think from the fans. I mean, there was a point when Ohio State had 56 points up on the board, and the Nebraska player, it was around the middle to the end of the fourth quarter, and a Nebraska player made a tackle for about a 3 or 4 yard gain. He gets up and starts hooting and hollering and yelling and screaming, and I'm thinking, you know, this is the problem. Just get back in the huddle. Shut your mouth. They have 56 points up on the board. They're going to end up scoring more, and you're out there, and you're yelling and jumping around because you just made a play for a 3 yard gain. Like, you should be embarrassed about what's happened out there. And when you look back at the last couple of years, I think every time Nebraska has played a big game, a national televised game, you look at Wisconsin last year, Michigan last year, the bowl game, South Carolina, I mean, the UCLA game this year, it's just they do not show up for whatever reason it is, whether they get scared under the bright lights. There's something's going on down there, and you know, it's the offense isn't great. You know, I think it was 38 points on offense. That was kind of misleading. I think, you know, they Taylor Martinez he's under the impression that the offense is just fine and that they didn't have any problems out there. And he followed that up by saying that this game didn't really matter, because as long as they win the rest, that they'll be in Indianapolis for the Big Ten championship game.
Wow.
That didn't go over well when he said that this game really didn't matter. As you could expect, Nebraska fans are pretty passionate, and every game matters to them. But, I don't know if there's any part of this football team that is in good standing right now. And nobody's job should be secure, I think, at this point, whether you're talking about a player's job or a coach's job, because the product that's being thrown out there is just not acceptable. And I hope that Nebraska fans continue to have their voices heard and demand a better product, because what's out there right now it's embarrassing.
Sounds like with some of those players, you and Wistrom, you guys need to go into that locker room and bang a couple of heads together and knock some sense into these guys, right?
Well, we've both gone in now at this point. I went in Bo's first year, and Wistrom went in this past, prior to this season.
What is that like, Jason? What is it like to go back and to be a part of that and be in the locker room and talk to these guys?
Well, when I went in, they were just coming off of the Callahan regime, so they had finished 5-7 before the year before, and I had talked to them preseason of going into the 08, Bo's first year. And Alyssa, I mean, the language I couldn't repeat on this interview, but I mean, I let them have it. I mean, I just told them, you're an embarrassment at this point, and you need a complete makeover. And you know, the thing I can understand, you can go out and you can get out executed, or you can get even out coached, but there's one thing that you can always control, and that's you can outwork people and you can empty your tank on every single play, and there's no excuse why you shouldn't walk off that field exhausted, and no matter what the score is, your motor needs to be going a million miles an hour. And I just told him, I said that not the way that you guys were operating, and things need to change. Unless you want to be known as the group of kids that let Nebraska football go down the toilet. And obviously that process had started years before. But I also told them, I said, look, you have an opportunity that I never had, and that is to take Nebraska back kind of to the top and to be the group of guys that changes the way that things were here at Nebraska and gets us back to being an elite program. And my talk didn't work, and certainly Wistrom's talk didn't work. But, I think everybody still has hope that one day it's going to get turned around.
Let me jump in here as we get ready to close out our interview. I mean, the good news for Nebraska is they do have a week to regroup. They'll be back in action at Northwestern on the 20th. And I want to get into this next week, Jason. You know, one of the things when the media, and there's so many outside distractions going on, people are talking about the team. They're talking about, you know, what's going on there in terms of the leadership. You know, I want to get into with you as far as how do you keep your team having a singular focus and not listening to all those outside sources. So we'll talk about that next week. And Jason, enjoy the weekend off and enjoy that OU Texas football game. Okay.
I'm looking forward to it, E. Thanks for having me on.
Boomer sooner, Jay.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll be right back with much, much more this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. Stay close. Hi, folks. Elissa Walker-Campbell here to tell you about our good friends at Mercer Well Service, who pride themselves on integrity, leadership, and complete customer satisfaction in the oil and gas industry. They truly understand what it takes to be successful. In fact, they've been providing outstanding completion and workover rig services for over 50 years. One of the key components and reasons that they have been able to have such longevity is their exceptional staff and experienced personnel to assist you 24 hours, 7 days a week. Mercer Well Service also provides a full line of completion and workover rig services that include 158 rigs and have 25 swab units. Did you know that Mercer Well Service yard locations include Cleburne, Jacksboro, Kilgore, Whitesboro, and Sweetwater, Texas, among many others? And they are equipped with mud pumps, mud tanks, hydraulic catwalks, pipe racks, and rig supervisors. Why not give them a call today at 940-668-5147. Mercer Well Service. Call them at 940-668-5147.
The work of FCA can be summed up in four words: coaches, campus, camp, and community. The four C's are vital in fulfilling FCA's vision of seeing the world impacted for Jesus Christ through the influence of athletes and coaches.
Elissa Walker-Campbell is on the air,
asking the questions you want to know,
with sports' biggest and best name, Dallas Mavericks head coach Rick Carlisle.
And one of the ways you get high percentage threes is to get offensive rebounds and toss them back out. And if we don't get those rebounds, they're going to get them and toss them back out. Now, rebounding is a massively important stat.
The fastest hour in radio. Big names, big sports talk. The Big E Sports Show, hosted by Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Here we go. The start of the NBA season is just around the corner, and for the Dallas Mavericks, they've had a high amount of turnover with their roster in the offseason. 8 new players, 3 which are rookies, but the good news is that one of those players filling the point guard position is former UCLA standout that led the Bruins to the Final Four 3 times, and he is entering in his 4th season in the NBA. Of course, we are talking about the young man. Hey, he's got a million-dollar smile, the point guard for the Dallas Mavericks, Darren Collison. And I thought, you know, what better way to find out more about Darren than we're going to visit with his former college coach, Ben Howland at UCLA. Coach, thank you so much for the time. I know it's a busy time of year. We appreciate you joining us.
Alyssa, it's great to be with you. I'm excited to talk about Darren. He's one of my all-time favorite players and just did a great job during his 4 years at UCLA. And as you mentioned, he helped lead us to 3 straight Final Fours and was the integral part of all 3 of those teams. Just really proud of how he's conducted himself both on and off the floor as he's gone on to the NBA and really established himself as one of the very good point guards in the league.
And Coach Howland, what has made him so effective as he's taken his game to the next level in that point guard position? Because we've seen so much and we've heard so much about his athleticism. He's got that tremendous energy. I think watching him on game tape, he plays with his eyes wide open. He sees the floor extremely well. But also, what about that intangible? He's a coachable guy, isn't he?
He really is. You know, Darren is a very good shooter, number one. He really is an outstanding shooter. I think he's one of the top two free throw shooters in the history of UCLA basketball, but was a great three-point shooter. He shot it really well in the NBA. You know, when he got his chance after Chris Paul got hurt during his rookie campaign and down in New Orleans, you know, for 2 months there during the season, he was one of the top players in the NBA, both in assists and points as a point guard. And, you know, so he can really, really pass the ball. He's a very good score player, and he's an outstanding defender. He can really pressure the ball. The thing I love about Darren is he's just so dedicated, so committed. He loves the game. Basketball is his life. You know, he got married summer before last, has a beautiful wife, just very focused on career and family. He loves being a Dallas Maverick, too. I talked to him not too long ago, and one of his favorite things is Coach, I have a card that gets me into the gym whenever I want, so if I want to go shoot at 2 in the morning, I can go there and shoot 2 in the morning. It's never a problem to get in the gym. This guy lives in the gym. He really loves the way that you know, Mark Cuban runs the organization. The players are treated with such first-class care. You know, everything that everybody knows in the basketball world about the Dallas Mavericks, it's run as well as any organization in all professional sport, and it's really, really an honor and a privilege from Darren's standpoint to be there representing and playing for the Dallas Mavericks.
Well, Coach Allen, I must share that Darren Collison certainly made quite an impression with Coach Carlisle and his staff, because when he signed with Dallas, he picked up the phone, he immediately requested game tape and ISOs on each of the players with Dallas just to have that familiarity, and he wants to know where their sweet spots are on the floor so he can get the ball up the floor and get it in their hands. I mean, you talk about a guy taking initiative.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, I mean, he's getting to play with one of the great players in the history of the game, and Nowitzki, who you can give him the ball anywhere, he's going to score it. So, I mean, he's very fortunate. I think O.J. Mayo is a great addition to their team. Obviously, Marion's back, and he's still one of the great defenders and athletes in the game. It's going to be an exciting year for the Mavericks, and I know Darren is thrilled to be there and to have this opportunity to play for the Mavericks, and I hope it turns out to be something that will be long-term.
Well, Ben, you talk about Darren Collison. He obviously has a very special place in your heart, but you've also got to feel good about your former player, that he has the opportunity to play for one of the best coaches in the game and a guy that's won a world championship not only as a coach but also as a player. So he's going to be able to maximize Darren's strengths and minimize his weaknesses.
Now, Coach Carlisle is definitely one of the best coaches in the NBA. You know, when they won the championship 2 years ago, that was just a masterful job that he did during the season. You know, they lost some guys last year to free agency, and I know they're in a rebuilding mode right now. And I know that Mark Cuban knows how lucky he is to have Rick leading his organization as the coach. And he's both ends. He's a great offensive coach and really, really has a great feel for that end of the floor. And he's also an outstanding defensive coach and relates well with the players. He's a player's coach. So Darren is very fortunate to be playing for Coach Carlisle, and I know he's excited about that. And he loves to play. Darren just wants to be out on the floor and wants to compete and wants to. He brings it every day, everything he's got. And as a coach, that's all you want from your players.
Well, I think, too, that he'll be able to make that transition because, you know, Coach Carlisle's system is based on efficient play and simplicity, and he's going to be able to read and react to what the defense has given him.
No question. And, you know, they run a lot of great stuff. And, you know, when you have a guy like Nowitzki to play with, it really takes a lot of pressure off a lot of the other players because he's so dangerous.
Ben Howland is with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. And I have to mention, you know, New Orleans had drafted Darren Collison back in 2009, and he had the opportunity to learn from one of the best point guards in all of the NBA, and that, of course, is Chris Paul. And he learned how to, you know, to manage the game, to control himself within the game. Can you expound a little bit on that?
Yeah, well, obviously Chris is one of the great players in the NBA currently and a part of the USA basketball team that won the gold medal this summer. We get a chance to see him every night here in L.A. with the Clippers, and you know, he's a really special And I think Darren, though, is really a student of the game. And, you know, he's going to do whatever Coach Carlisle asks. One thing that Darren does, as well as anybody in that league, is at the other end of the game, you know, on defense, he's so good at pressuring the ball. When you go back and look at what they did in the playoffs, Indiana, this past year, he did a great job pressuring the ball and getting after people defensively and, you know, creating havoc with his ability to, you know, really, really pressure and anticipate. So I think that's going to be a real big plus for the Mavericks, is to have a point guard who can really cause havoc with the other team's point guard by pressuring him and trying to take him out of his game.
Yes, he's a tremendous defensive player, but what would you say to him as a player when you're coming into a system with so many new faces and you're trying to build that cohesiveness and that chemistry? He's got to get to know those teammates, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does, and that's going to take a little time, and I think that I'm sure the coaching staff, they all understand that. They've got a very new group, and I'm sure it's very exciting at the same time. Should be a lot of fun. The bottom line is he just has to, do whatever Coach Carlisle tells him to do. And, that's all he really needs to do, just trust and then what Coach Carlisle is telling him to do and try to execute that the best of his ability, and everything else will take care of itself.
Ben Hallen is with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. We know him well, UCLA's men's basketball coach, and we are shining the spotlight on Darren Collison, who was just an outstanding point guard for him there. And what is it about UCLA? You guys just continue to, bring so many terrific players to the NBA level. You've got 15 right now that are playing in the NBA, and of course we think of Russell Westbrook with the Oklahoma City Thunder, Kevin Love. The list goes on and on.
Yeah, we've been very fortunate. I've been very fortunate to coach a lot of great players here at UCLA, and this is one of the great traditional programs in the history of college basketball at UCLA that's had the most pros, actually, in the history of the NBA from one school. And, we've been very fortunate to have great kids, and we're excited about all the players in the NBA from UCLA, and we're excited about the upcoming season. We're actually playing Rick Barnes and his outstanding program.
Oh, yeah.
In a game down in Houston this coming
December.
In December. And that'll be a real challenge for us. He's got a very good team with a lot of really good young players. And we're very young. We're a team that has four freshmen that are all expected to play considerable minutes. So that should be exciting for us as we move forward.
You guys had a terrific summer together as well, as I understand. You went to China, is that right?
Yeah, it was a great experience. We took our team to China, and we were over there for a week. We played three games. We played against Yao Ming's professional team the last game, the Shanghai Sharks.
Oh, yeah.
Meet Yao Ming, who's just a great guy, and that was a great experience. But the cultural experience of taking our team to Beijing and Shanghai and to see a different culture and to experience the way that the Chinese live and, which is such a huge economic power now in this global economy, was really a great experience for our players. And they really loved it. They were talking about it for the last month after we returned back. We went to late August and got back the 29th of August, so, less than 5 weeks ago. It was really, really a good experience.
Coach Hallen, many thanks for dropping by. We certainly enjoyed hearing about Darren Collison, and good luck this season.
Thank you very much.